Imagine having the life of your dreams. Not temporary cash and glory, but happiness and inner peace. Explore new ways to be a creator and take your own journey into greatness. Is it possible? What does it take to make that happen? It takes the person known for extreme results. He's called the Cage Breaker and the Ultimate Catalyst. Coming back from the brink of death and now crushing it for himself and his clients, this is Your Ultimate Life Podcast with Kellen Flukiger.
Today's episode is about another one of the beautiful words in my personal truth and commitment statement, and I haven't talked about that statement itself for a few episodes, so I want to review briefly for you what it is, so you understand why I'm picking all these words and why I'm waxing, you know, lengthily poetic. Lengthily, is that even a word? I don't know. Why I'm waxing poetic about these words. The personal truth and commitment statement is a declaration of who I choose to be in the world. It starts with acknowledging my divine origin and yours as children of God, and then consequently says how I choose to show up in the world. And the last couple of episodes, I talked about clarity and commitment, and this one is usefulness. And I want to tell you how they show up in my document. Now, the document's several pages long, and that's too long for here, but it says, the clarity one shows up in a sentence. It says, I am clear. That's a declaration. I am clear and know who I serve and what I'm about. So that's a declaration that says that I am clear and I know precisely who I serve, God and my fellow men, and what I'm about, which is about how I go about that. So that's how that shows up. The commitment says, the words I use are, I am committed and advance powerfully in the face of every challenge. So again, that's framed in the structure of a declaration that I choose to live by. So I am committed, and to what is all the stuff that's elsewhere in the document, but I am committed and advance powerfully in the face of every challenge. And that's a declaration about how I approach every day, everything that happens, whether it's good or bad. The third one is, I am useful and work as an instrument in the hands of God. So again, that's a declaration about how I choose to live life. I choose to focus on being useful and being an instrument for divine work. Now, I'm not saying anyone else has to do that or focus their life like I do. My point in sharing all this is so that you understand what I do, because we're talking about creating your ultimate life. The definition that I've given, that I give repeat in every podcast, is a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy created by serving others with your divine gifts. And so this personal truth and commitment statement that contains all these words and declarations about how I meet life is the tool, or one of the main tools, for how I create a life that's full of this excitement and that I experience every day. And it's funny, sometimes I meet people and at conferences, or people that I haven't met before, except perhaps virtually, and they say to me, you know, you're the same in person as you are in your video or in your posts. And the answer is, yes, I am. I don't have to pretend. Authenticity is like transparency. And the reason is because I can't be anything other than who I am, and neither can you. But we sure try. If you look on social media or other places online, people try to present one face, and then behind the scenes, it's something else. For example, I talk regularly to people who present the picture of prosperity and power in their social media accounts. Then we get a chance, for whatever reason, either because they've responded to a post or I've met them somewhere, to talk in private about, you know, their circumstance, or they ask me some questions because I coach, and so they want to, you know, they want an opinion about this or that. And we'll get into deeper conversation, and then it becomes really clear, because they tell me that, you know, they're not doing anywhere near as well as it might appear, either financially or personally. You know, it's In other words, the myth doesn't match the reality. And this transparency, where what you project and who you are matched, is key for the ultimate life. Now, that doesn't mean you share every detail of everything going on in your life with everybody. I'm not saying that. But for example, one of the words a few episodes back was integrity. And the way I frame that is, I am integrity and do what I say and am who I seem, with no camouflage, duplicity, or guile. And that phrase helps me stay centered and focused about what I'm projecting as a coach, as a person, as a child of God, as a person who wants to help others. You know, what am I projecting to the world? And is my in-person behavior, for those that get to know me, consistent with that? And it needs to be. Otherwise, I'm not being authentic and I'm not congruent in that way. All right. So today's thing of usefulness is, I'm going to break it up into three parts like we always do. And I said, for me, I said, I am useful and work as an instrument in the hands of God. If the word useful is important to you, and I hear a lot from people, clients and others I work with, they want to be useful. They want to help. I want to help others. I want to, you know, I want to do something good. So then the first question is, useful to who? Okay, so that's part one. Part two is, what is it inside of us that makes us want to be useful or to do good? Like, where does that come from? What is it that drives that need? And the third question that often comes up is, okay, fine, if I'm a do-gooder, can I do good and be prosperous? Is it really possible to do good, and be about useful and good things in the world and still be prosperous? And the answer is absolutely, but when we get to part three, we're going to talk in detail about that. All right, so the first part is, useful to who? Now, if the word useful or some version of that, helping or, you know, of service to or in service of, if those principles appeal to you, I have found it really helpful to decide who. You know, my clear declaration for me is, I work as an instrument in the hands of God. That means I need to, every single day, open a channel and make sure I'm listening to direction. It means I need to be willing to do whatever is asked, even if it's hard or, oh man, I don't want to do that. Even those things, I need to do that. I need to be open. I need to seek direction, and I need to look for ways to be useful. So that's part of it. And if your desire to be useful is to your friends or to your family or to your mate or your children or your church or whatever it is, deciding how that is framed and how you make that happen is key. It's just like any other characteristic that you want in your life. We need to decide what that looks like. So if I'm honest, if I say I'm going to be honest, which is one of my other words, what does that look like? Which is why I added the phrase, I am honesty and speak only truth. So what that means is, everything that comes out of my mouth is true. Now, that's the standard that I hold myself to. Now, obviously, I'm not perfect. You know, there's nuances I have to correct and omissions and things. And so I rush to correct those, not because I have to, but because I have decided that for my ultimate life, that's the guy I want to be. You need to decide, what are the things you want, you know, to who you want to serve, who you want to be useful to. I've also discovered that the more clear and explicit I am, the easier it is to do. If I vaguely say, well, I'm going to help people, that isn't very motivating and it isn't very helpful in terms of helping me make day-to-day, minute-to-minute decisions. I'm good. I don't do any wrong to people. I'm a good person. The very way that we say that is not one of satisfaction. It's almost like an excuse. Well, I don't do anything wrong. I'm a good person. Well, nobody said you weren't. But the tonality of that expression means, you know, it's sort of meeting some minimum standard that's in your head anyway. So deciding who Specifically, who you want to be useful to or helpful or in service of is really important, and it drives clarity in decisions even moment to moment. The second part of this is answering the question, what is it that makes us want to do good anyway? So think about that for a minute. If we're honest with ourselves, I was in conversation with a client this morning, and we were talking about that very thing. Like, we are free to live our lives at any level we want. We can just do enough to get by. We can create a career and earn enough money just to barely pay bills. Or we can create staggering amounts of money and spend it all on ourselves and just have a riotous time of self-indulgence. We're free to do that, and some do. But in our conversation, we both agreed and noted that for many, if I would contend it's for everybody, because we all came from the same divine place, but for many, there is this desire to do good. There is an innate, inborn, intentional feeling in us as humans to do good, to be good, to seek after good. You know, there is a North Star. There is a right and a wrong. And when we sit quietly with ourselves, we know that. And we feel it. And sometimes we argue about it. Well, it's all relative and it doesn't really matter. And we're always, if we're speaking like that, we're arguing against some deeper feeling that we have in our heart and we know is true. So the answer to the question, what is it that makes us want to do good, is really simple. We are blessed as divine creations that the desire to do good is in our DNA. We are built that way. Now, there's some physiological evidence when we are in community and doing good for each other. Our bodies release oxytocin and some other neurochemical transmitters in the bloodstream that feel good. So we get a feel-good reward for that. And that's a physiological piece. But even below that, at the spiritual fundamental level, that thing in us that came from somewhere else that leaves when the body stops functioning, that thing, that spirit, that essence, that aman, that thing itself is designed and built with a desire to do good. So where did it come from? It was given to us at birth. In fact, it was given to us before birth. It's part of our very nature and the essence of our beings. That's really good news, because that means we don't have to go find it. All we have to do is allow it to blossom. Stop getting in the way and fighting against it. Give in to the impulses to do good and be good, because it's innate. We were given that blessing. Wow, what a cool notion. What a cool thought. What a cool truth. It's absolutely truth. Since you and I were born from a divine source, we were born with that divine attribute, the desire to do good, the desire to love, to help, to bless, etc. And that is so powerful and so cool. All right, part three is a question that I get all the time, because there's this sort of notion that if I do good, or I'm being good, or I'm trying to do good, that I can't be prosperous. And so the question really, I'll say it two ways. Can I do good and be prosperous is one way to say it. Or in order to make money, do I have to be a little shady? Do I have to be a little greedy? Do I have to be a little chisely? Do I have to do that in order to really be successful and prosperous? You know, there's lots of behaviors that we see around us in the world that would suggest, yes, you can't be really good, open, fair, truthful, honest, and, quote, get ahead. That is a myth, And it is a dangerous myth, because what that does is it pits us one against the other. That means there isn't really enough, and the only way you get ahead is to put me down or put someone else down. It's a zero-sum game. The only way any of us wins is when somebody else loses. C.S. Lewis, who's one of my favorite philosophers, said the following. He said, happiness comes not from having something, but only in having more of it than the next person. And he was making a commentary about how we seem to conduct our lives. Having something isn't enough. I've got to have more of it than you, or you've got to have more than me in order for the having to mean anything. And that, again, goes to the zero-sum game. There's only a limited amount. And so I got to have mine. I got to have more than you. And then it's okay. Then I have something. So that's a myth. It's false. It's not true. There is more than enough and to spare for every single person to live a purpose-driven life of prosperity and joy. That's an absolute truth. And the more we live a different way, this zero-sum game where I got to win at your expense or you win at someone else's expense, all that does is perpetrate negativity, perpetrate hate and anger and all the rest of the nonsense and painful stuff that comes with it. Your choice to be of service or to be useful includes the truth that there is enough and to spare. And it is founded on the truth that there is adequate so you can be good, do good, and be prosperous. Your prosperity or mine doesn't have to come at the expense of someone else or the expense of my integrity or your integrity or the expense of truth. You can be useful, be powerful, live the ultimate life without taking advantage of someone else. So yes, you can do good and be prosperous. And as you live in that way, you move ever closer toward your ultimate life. Open your heart
and this time around. Thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope that you take it deeply into your heart and decide for yourself how you can create anything you desire. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends. As always, we'd love to hear your feedback and topic suggestions. Until tomorrow, this is Your Ultimate Life with host Kellen Flukiger. Stand with your heart in the sky and your feet.